Good morning. It's good to see you all here, and I don't think I see any snowflakes right now, so that's nice too. Looks like we still have our Easter egg hunt like at 11:30, and I really expect to join in as well. So if you see me out there running around, you can follow me. You can go ahead and try too. Yeah, well, or vice versa. Oh, it's wonderful to be here with you this morning and celebrate this wonderful day of Palm Sunday. You know, Palm Sunday. Think about that and kind of go, already, we're here coming up to, we're walking with Christ and his journey to the cross, this beautiful cross that was set up here just to remind us, you know, that it was a journey. And it was, you know, we saw that movie, The Passion of Christ, you know, He had passion to obey his Father, passion to carry on the mission that the Father gave him into full completion, passion for even us who didn't really deserve it. And that's what the cross is about. And we journey from beginning about counting the cost of being a disciple. What does it mean? And some people are willing just to give up their lives to follow Christ, give up their freedom. And then we talked about his amazing love. That's so precious that we couldn't even describe it. We can't even describe it with our words today. But we can certainly describe it in our times of praise and thanksgiving as best we can, and just with the sacrifices of our lives unto our great, great King and God. And then last week we were talking about, what? Do you remember? What was last week? What were we talking about last week?
Once is enough.
Yes, there you go. You kind of got it right there. Christ's blood is so powerful. There's power in the blood, right? And his blood, he didn't have to go back again and again for us each time, like they had back in the Old Testament times where they had to sacrifice an animal one after another every year and then more than that, right? It was Jesus' sacrifice is perfect once and for all. That's his blood for us to cleanse us, right? To give us new life, a new covenant. And today, we're talking a little bit. Sam read that Psalm 24. We're looking at the triumphal entry in Luke 19, and you're kind of saying, well, how does that connect? Well, I'm kind of a crazy guy, and the Holy Spirit moves, so we'll see how that connects today. But, you know, lifting up your head, right? You see people lift up their heads. It's kind of an interesting thing to think of. I remember one day when I was playing paddle tennis, out there in high school, and we were having a great match. It was really close, hitting. We had little paddles, and it was like tennis, but we just had paddles, right? And I had a little court running around, and I was trying to beat this other guy. And I was so focused. I kept my head on the ball really good, you know, and we were having a good fight. And then he hit a good shot, and I just started keeping it. I kept my head down. I was ready to hit it, and boom, my whole world stopped. I ran into a basketball pole. All right. So there's a reason why you are to lift up your head, because if I lifted up my head, I would have saw that pole, and I might have still made the shot and just went around it, but no, I kept my eyes on the ball, my head down, and boom. And I think I still have a little knot there today, and I still remember it. That's quite a few years ago. So, you know, and I know, okay, you guys, I know you never had this situation, but when you get in trouble, when I get in trouble, a lot of times, especially when I was younger, well, even now, I just, you know, your eyes kind of go like this. And if there's dirt around, you're going to be kicking at the dirt. And, you know, people are going to be talking at you, you're going to be going like this, you know. Look at me! Yeah. I mean, you know how that is. So when you lift up your heads, you know, there's something for that. There's something about that. You know, some people lift up their head and are very proud. They think everything is right. They're right. Everything, you know, you're wrong, and they'll look you right in the eyes and all that stuff. And there's some people that, you know, lift up their eyes, lift up their heads and their eyes, and they're seeking something else. And we're looking at that today. If I can turn this on, see if this works. So what brings you peace? See, when you go back and to look at what's going on here, and that triumphal return, and Jesus was talking about this, and if you look down further in verse 42 of that chapter 19, he says, "If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace." What will bring you peace? A lot of people say, oh, this is fuzzy and I could do this and that. But you know what? There's peace. There's a deeper peace that we're going to be talking about today and seeking out and trying to understand a little bit more about that today. Let's pray before we go on. Lord Father, again, we come before you in your presence, praising you and thanking you that you are our King. You're the King of glory, mighty in battle. And not only are you mighty in battle, but you love us with a love that we can't even grasp. It surpasses our understanding and our words. But we thank you for it. And we pray that you'll open our hearts today to grasp even more of who you are so we can have that peace in our lives and be a blessing to others in it. So bless these words. May you receive all the glory and honor in it. Pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So what will you bring your peace? Well, going back to triumphal entry, you know, Jesus ordered the donkey, the colt of the donkey came to him, you know, and people kind of scratch their head. Well, what's that about? Well, there's a symbolism that the Israelite people would understand, especially the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They would understand this symbolism. They'd go back to Zechariah. And it says, rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So they would recognize that, you know, Jesus, what he's saying, I'm your king. Here I come, Jerusalem. Here I come, Israel. I'm your king. And of course, the crowds are going, oh, ah, you know, the kids and the adults are going, woo, you know, whipping it up. Here he is. Here's our king. You know, they're saying, yeah, now the Romans, they're going down. You know, that's what's in their hearts. Most of their hearts are just thinking, they're just going, ah, finally, somebody that's going to deal with this Roman army. Finally, somebody's going to take this Roman government, shatter it, so we can become our own rulers once again. See, in the past, they failed. They were not obedient unto God. They did not follow his rules, his laws that he taught them. And they lost. They lost their sovereignty to rule themselves. See, there's consequence to disobedience, consequence to pride, consequence to many other things we'll be talking about today. But the triumphal entry is full of this emotion, right? There's a lot of exclamation marks. Yeah, yeah, Hosanna, Hosanna. Glory, glory. Here comes our King, the Most High God, our Savior. Save us, save us. All that is going on. They're just their hearts are pouring out. And I don't know if you've been to other, you know, like to Penn State games, you know, if you've been to a Dodger game with me or something like that, you go, yeah, yeah, somebody hits home run, you're going, woo, 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 like that. Don knows it. Except for that. Aren't you a Dodger fan? No. Oh, somebody's a Dodger fan. My buddy here, Barry and I. See? Hearts to heart right there. See, they hit a home run, you just, yeah, yeah. You know, there's a lot of emotion, but it doesn't. But that emotion can be kind of misdirected too, or it could be kind of an emotion that, you know, has one thing, but there's a misunderstanding going on in all of that emotion. So emotion is emotion, but it doesn't mean that it's, you know, the correct emotion, right? So Jesus is going through this, and then of course, in every party, there's a party pooper. I'm not looking this way, Don. So I'm not looking that way. So I'll just look this way. So usually, and of course, the Pharisees, you know, the priests, they don't like this because they know what Jesus is doing. And they are rejecting, right? They don't want this king. They don't want him. And so they're saying, hey, shut these guys up. Shut your disciples up. Don't let them say that. And Jesus says, well, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. The very stones would cry out. And that was also another prophecy by Habakkuk as well, talking about the stones crying out. It's amazing, all this emotion. Ah, you got the happiness and the cheering, and you got the people going, rah, 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 rah. And you got Jesus on a little donkey going, ooh. Hey. But then as he looked at Jerusalem, what did he do here? You know, all this is going on. And he says, well, and verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept. He wept over it. And then he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. He knows. There's things that come into our lives that hide this, these things that would bring us peace. Hidden from their eyes. Amazing. So then we have to kind of look at, well, what shuts the doors on this peace, on receiving peace? What shuts the doors? Well, just by using this scripture, there's a lot of different factors, a lot of things that happen, but two of the big things that we'll look at today just through the scriptures is a lack of understanding and hard hearts. Well, that goes a long way. Jesus weeps. Because he knows all this. That lack of understanding. See, there was another procession several hundred years before. A guy named David, he was king. Newly anointed king. And the ark was off somewhere and he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the very presence of God, back into Jerusalem. They set up a tabernacle for it to place it right there. And so he went down there to the ark and he said, hey, let's get it back there. And they put this ark right on the oxen cart. Got the oxen and they started pulling it. And David and all the others were cheering just like these guys. You know, they're just, woohoo! Yeah, here comes our God! He's going to be with us again! He's going to live amongst us again. They're just shouting and dancing and all that, you know, all the music being played. And all of a sudden, like, boom! The guy next to the ox cart touched it, reached out because the ox stumbled and he wanted to keep steady the ark. I don't know if it was fire or what that nailed this guy, but he was dead. Instantly. A guy named Uzzah. And that David just went, oh, fear struck him. He was angry, but God was angrier because they didn't follow what he told them to do so many years before. And then finally, David, you know, he left it at a home of a Levite. So a Levite was able to take care of the ark. Went back to Jerusalem, then he finally got smart. You know what he did? He searched the scriptures, and he got to the book of Numbers. And he went to this one part, it says, oh, shoot, I didn't read this, I didn't know it. I thought we can bring up this ark any way we can. Nope. No, he says, it was because of you. Well, you know, he's not really pointing at himself, but I think he's really confessing his wrong, but through kind of a roundabout way, right? It was because of you, talking to the Levites. The Levites did not bring it up the first time that the Lord of God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way. See, misunderstanding does this, doesn't it, huh? I mean, I hear a lot of people, and we talk about God, and they start just spouting things off. I'm kind of going, well, can you open up the book, the Bible, and tell me where you're getting this from? And a lot of times they start going, I heard it from my friend. I heard it on YouTube, or I heard on the radio. I heard this preacher saying this or whatever that. I'm kind of going, well, where is it? See, we have a tendency just, you know, to just gravitate to what sounds good, right? I mean, I'm sure even that day when Jesus was riding on a donkey going into Jerusalem, and the people were just, oh yeah, they're all excited because this is our warrior king, the warrior king. See, I got a feeling that those priests and the people back then, they just wanted to focus on those scriptures that were always teaching about destroy the enemy. Because they wanted to rule themselves. That was on their minds and their hearts. They wanted a Messiah, but they wanted a warrior king. They wanted Daniel's warrior king from, what is that, chapter 7, verse 14, talking about the cloud rider, the one who will come in the clouds and with all that authority and power. And there's other scriptures that they would go to talking about this king, this powerful warrior king who will destroy the nations. See, that's on their heart. See, they like to pick out just those things that they want that just cheers them up. We do the same. Did you know that? Oh, we pick this out of here. Oh, that sounds good to me. Oh, we pick that out of here. Ooh, yeah. All that other stuff. Servant. The servant, suffering servant, that doesn't mean anything. We don't need to talk about that. We don't. Oh, what? You gotta love your enemies? No, love others, yeah, okay, but enemies, we don't need to go back there anymore. Yes? So we kind of get those little blinders on and we just pick out things that we like. I guarantee you that's what they were doing back then. Because if they read the full scriptures and really sought the deeper meanings, so they read them and we read and we get the words and we get things that we like and stuff like that, but the deeper meanings we tend to push aside for another time. And that's what they did too. And so they missed out. They missed out on this blessing. Their king coming in. And he's bringing them peace. Peace in their hearts, inner peace. Even in the midst of turmoil, they would be able to have this peace because they would have peace with the Father and they would have peace with the world around them, even the Romans. Because as we had testimony there from Tammy about God has a plan. And we can trust that plan. It's amazing. But they missed out on it because of the misunderstanding. You see, because this isn't quite right. We don't want a suffering servant. We want the warrior king. Well, their timing was off. Their timing was off. Their emotion got in the way. And their misunderstanding caused their doors to shut on the King of Peace, the King of Glory. Shut solid, the ancient doors of our hearts are shut to peace that only the King of Glory could bring. And then what's another thing? So you got misunderstandings, and then you just got downright hard hearts called pride. This is the best way. The Pharisees, you know, just look, yeah, we got this. I understand everything. I don't need anything. I got all my rules. I got all the laws. I got my nice dress. I got my position. I got all the fame and all that honor and all that stuff. I don't need anything else. Well, Jesus talked to him one day. Oh, before that, this one here, it's kind of, you look at, starting to piece this thing together. You got this triumphal entry. And then you go to Psalm 24 and it starts to talk to us a little bit more here. It says, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. Well, I tell you something, right then and there, every Pharisee, every person who walks with a prideful heart is convicted. Because I guarantee you, the Pharisees, their hearts were not pure towards God. Their hands were not clean. They were looking to arrest and kill him. And if you look at chapter, in John chapter 6 and 7, all that stuff, 8 and 9, all that, you'll understand this stuff. Hard hearts tend to cause us just to say no. Causes us to reject things that would be really good for us because we already think we already know what's best for us. You know, there's that scripture, watch out if you're standing, you think you're standing firm that you don't fall. Because when you're standing firm, you better watch out because then you're standing in your own strength. Standing in your own strength, you might be able to do something for a little while, but when the wind starts blowing and the storms start kicking up, you're going down. See, the enemy is stronger than us on our own. But through Christ's blood, through his spirit within us, we have one who is greater. The one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Pharisees, teachers of the law, all those people, the leaders of the nation of Israel, they already led them astray centuries before and they went into exile. You'd think that they would learn a lesson from reading scriptures and understanding, but no, because man is man. Because here they go again. They're leading the Israelite nation away from peace that can only be given to them through the King of Glory. That's it. See, Jesus caught them and their duplicity and their problems that they have. He just said this. You study the scriptures to the Pharisee. You study them. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. Well, reading a piece of paper and words, it's not going to get you eternal life. I could read this all day long. All my life, it's not going to get you an eternal life. How's that going to get you eternal life? These are the very scriptures that testify about me, Jesus says. Well, now we're starting to get closer. These scriptures testify about me. What are you missing, guys? I don't like that part, though. I don't like to hear about a suffering servant. I want the warrior king only. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Oh, that's how you get saved. That's how you get the King of Glory. Don't refuse, but open up. Lift up your heads. Open up the doors. Those old ancient doors that we have shut against that peace that comes from the King of Glory. Saying, just let me in. But we're going, no, I'm not ready for you. I like my own kingdom the way it is. I built it. This is mine. Don't come in. You're not allowed. You refused. They refused. They rejected. And as they rejected, their doors were shut. The King of Peace couldn't come in. Shut tight. They missed it. They didn't recognize him. See, later on here, it says this. Listen to Jesus' words here. And by verse 43, he says, The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground and you and your children with your in your walls. It's not a good future, is it? See, in AD 70, that's exactly what happened about 40 years after. Jerusalem got all rowdy. All the people in there and the Romans said, you know what, we're done with you. And they went in there and they just took out that whole city. They took down the temple. They took down the walls of Jerusalem and they killed everybody in it. Oh, thank you, priests, leaders, for shutting out the King of Glory. That's a consequence. It's a consequence for us, even today. When we shut out the King of Glory because of our pride, our hard hearts, or our misunderstanding, we miss out. We miss out not only in the peace, but we miss out on what they mentioned there in Psalm 24 about vindication, being vindicated, being made right, everything being made right for a holy God. We miss out. See, further on, he says, then later on, he says, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. How many times did I reject Christ in my life? Probably more than I can count, because I was having a good old time. But finally, he knocked me down. By his grace alone and tons of prayers from my mom and whoever else. See, I did not recognize him. Though I knew about him and he sounded great and I prayed and saw that stuff, but it still never got inside because I never opened up my doors. I never lifted up my head. I kept it down. Watching that ball ready to smack it. And then, boom, I ran into that pole and hallelujah for that pole. Hallelujah for that pole because it knocked some sense into me. And the King of Glory came in. Amazing how he does that. I hope you don't have to run into a pole. But if you need to, go right ahead. To bump the knot right here, something that's like a war wound. Life, right? Receiving peace is said right here. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Open up your heart. Stop doing all this stuff. Stop thinking about this and that and not really understanding who Christ is and what he's done for us. Stop listening to other people. Get into the Word yourself and start learning. Get into a group of followers of Christ and just the synergy and just the learning and the growing together to know who Christ is. The misunderstanding just starts to fall away. And the clarity of the Prince of Peace, the King of Glory, coming into our hearts, just boom, it's powerful. Don't reject. See, the doors are open and peace is ready to come in. Flow into our lives. Flow into our lives. That's what we so desire, don't we? I like I don't know if you've seen the Chosen series, but I really do recommend it. There's one scene where Mary Magdalene, they made some things up just to kind of to help us understand more about Christ and what it is to live before him. And Mary Magdalene, she got really fearful of the situation that happened. She ran away. And after what, then they had to send Peter and Matthew out to find her, and they finally found her after a day or so, And they brought her back to Jesus. And so, you know, the scene was in a tent. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was with Mary Magdalene and Jesus, and they were just talking privately. And, you know, Mary's eyes are down. You know, I'm so ashamed. She said, I'm so ashamed. I just threw away. You redeemed me, and I just threw it away. And Jesus just said, he said, well, it's not much of a redemption if you can throw it away in one day. Do you understand that? Do you understand those words? It's not much of a redemption if you can throw it away in one day. And that woke up Mary. She's going, oh. But then she's going, it's so hard. I just can't do it. I can't. It's just so hard. I just walking and following you and trying to be so good. I just can't do it. And Jesus just said to her, you're right. You can't. But he says, you know, just give me your heart. Just give me your heart. And the Father, all the Father wants is your heart. And you've already given it to us. And all these things will work out. All these things will work out. And she's going, she's just keeps on going, no. And he says, and Jesus said to her, he says, you know, in this life, you know you're going to have troubles, right? You're going to be fighting against sin. Did you think you're going to live in this life without having a struggle against sin? And she's kind of going, oh, and she's still looking down, you know, tears flowing, some of that. And then Jesus says, you know, look up. Lift up your head, Mary. And she's going, no, I can't. He says, you can. You can. And finally, she got the courage, the humility, the open heart, the understanding of what she's going to do. So she lifted up her head, and her eyes went into Jesus' eyes at that moment. And you know what he said to her? I forgive you. Boom. See, she lifted up her head. You have to be, you know, in that situation, you're going to get humbled. You're humbled. You're wrong. You did something stupid. But you lift up your eyes and you're humbling yourself. That's fine. And the courage to do that. Some people don't have courage to lift up their heads, to look at into the eyes of Jesus, to hear those words. And you know, she opened her heart to receive those words and to understand, and she knew who she was lifting her head up to. There is no wondering about that. I forgive you. Do you need to lift up your heads, old ancient doors? Old ancient gates, do you need to open up? If you haven't, today is today. You can come and join us over here. We can pray for you. If you need to recommit your life, come on over, find a seat. We'll pray for you. If you need healing, we got healing oil. We can pray for you. Open your hearts and let the King of Glory come in. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past or what has been done to you in the past. All I have to do is just lift up the head. Meet Jesus' eyes and hear his voice. I forgive you. And you start anew. Empowered. Peace flows into your life as never before. And then a celebration. Remember, we celebrate. You know, we got the palms and all that stuff. Well, here we are. The heavenly scene. Because the King is coming for us. For his church. The King is coming back. He could be doing it right now. It's imminent. At any time he can come. So open up your doors. Lift up your heads. Because look at this. After this I looked. This is John writing. And there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation. Every tribe. Yeah, even people from mountaintop. Strange people as you are. people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches. See, the palm branches symbolized national, you know, pride of Jerusalem, you know, the Jews, but also they did it for celebration. And they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Don't you want to be a part of that? And don't you want to see your sons and daughters and grandkids and great-grandkids and friends and cousins and co-workers and classmates be there as well? Let's do it. Share this good news of what Christ has done for us. Open up your hearts. Help others, lead them to Christ. And see the King of Glory come into their hearts. Let's pray. Father, again, we just amaze at your word, the power of who you are, the wonders of your truth and hope and love that we have in you, Lord. May we live it. May we open up our hearts daily, moment to moment to you, to allow your Spirit to move through us, to teach us, to guide us, to show us the way how we can not only draw closer to you and to know who you are more, but to also to help others come to know you too, by testimonies, by praises and thanksgivings, by prayers. Prayers unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that we will see victory after victory after victory happen, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. The peace that comes from you alone will flow into our lives. The King of Glory will come into our hearts and fill us up even more than we can ever imagine or hope for. Thank you, Father. Praise you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all those people say, amen. Amen.